Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to the On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm one of your hosts, Abby.
I'm the other one, Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast. If this is the first time you are listening, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast, deep diving into every single episode. We are on season 10, episode 19 and 20.
Yeah, we are a spoiler podcast. We talk about all things that have happened in the Grey's universe, even though we sometimes are not accurate about them. We still talk about it. We also have a great way if you would like to get more than just one episode a week and you want to become more involved. You can do so by heading to patreon.com/theoncallroom, where you can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. You can get access to our private Facebook group. You can have our monthly Zoom calls. We just had one this week. It was really fun. We did not talk about Interstellar once,
but we'll talk about it today on this episode. What's your favorite part about Interstellar?
Have people co-host the podcast. Like today, there's a lovely patron scrubbing in. You can get our post-op, which today, if you're listening to the episode on the Patreon app and you are a $10 patron, you get a bonus part where we're going to talk about the Harper Avery Catherine Fox Award and all of the things that it entails and when it's been on the show and all those details. But you have to be a $10, what is it, an attending? You have
attending. To be an attending. To be able to get that content. So check us out there. There's a lot to see.
Yeah. Patreon.com/theoncallroom.
If you want to follow us somewhere else, you can follow us on Instagram at @theoncallroompod. You can also follow me at BJ Babs and Abby.
You can follow me at Abby Elmore.
Yeah. And, follow us there.
Yeah. If you want to send us a longer form message, maybe you have a really good idea for the show, or you just want to bring something into light, we would love it if you would do that by going to our website at www.theoncallroompod.com. There's a contact form there. Fill it out and we will get back to you.
And then finally, if you would be so kind as to leave a review, we are back up to 5 scalpel review. We were at 4.5, but we've hit 5
yes,
again.
Yes, yes,
so thank
yes.
you everyone who has left a review. We really appreciate it.
Please. My ego rides on.
Yeah. So we have a featured review this week. It says, I found this pod a couple of weeks ago and binged the whole run from the beginning. Thanks for giving me a conversation over a lonely quarantine meal, a laugh on a rough day, and
a reason to
rewatch the show yet again. Listening to several years of your lives in just a few weeks was an honor. And I love how much you include the audience in your show. Keep up the good work, new friends. Lainey 875-82836.
I hope that's not her phone number.
I hope it is.
Should we call her?
Yeah. Hi, Lainey. Thank you.
I feel like that's such a beautiful review. It is crazy that, like, if someone binged this quickly, it's 3 years of our personal lives. I also was just thinking today, I listened to a lot of podcasts that I really love that help inform me about, like, what's going on in the world right now. Just a shout out. I love The Daily. I love What a Day. I love, oh my God, what is it called? I'll think of it in a second. There's just a lot, but I feel that I was just thinking how our role is to be the thing that when you've been done informing yourself, if you need a mental break for yourself to just laugh and to think about a fictional world full of like ridiculous characters, over dramatic, like love stories, that we want to fill that gap for you.
Yeah.
There are so many people doing a better job at informing the world and like self-help.
Yeah, we're not journalists.
No, we just want to be your friends. We want to just be the person that you put on when you don't really want to think too hard.
Yes.
And so that's our niche.
Yeah.
I feel like. And I just want to lean into that versus trying to be something that we're not.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that we're both not personally doing work and listening and educating ourselves, but that doesn't mean that we always bring certain topics to the podcast.
Yeah. And I don't want to be I don't think I'm knowledgeable enough. There are experts in many other things. Like, we are not even experts in Grey's Anatomy.
No, we're not. It turns out we're learning that day after day after day.
Turns out we...
And podcast goes after podcast goes. We have to give
I was going to say acknowledge... Like
the
Derek thing?
No, yeah, the murder ladies, what are they called? My Favorite Murderer, they call it Corrections Corner.
Okay.
And I'm not stealing that, but we should come up with a name.
Okay, okay.
So a correction that we've been saying over and over and over again.
Which is that Derek does not die mid-season. He dies in one of the final episodes.
Yeah, like second to last or third to last episode.
The reason I will stand up for myself that I kept saying that is that there is a time of like, it feels like 12 years happens in that one episode. I think it's just like a year, but time happens quickly and it confused me.
Yes.
So I'm sorry if you've been yelling at us about that.
You know what? We're doing the best we can.
Someday when we have a producer in our corner, when Marge learns English.
Which will be soon.
And can be researching with her little paws. Yeah. So what else? Anything new with you? I know we have a long episode, but just, you know, checking in with you.
Yeah. You know what? Thanks. Not much. Going up to TC this weekend. Going to go kayaking.
That sounds really, you sound very athletic and outdoorsy.
And I might go for a hike, but that's silly. I just laugh when I say that.
That sounds so fun.
No, it will be really fun, but like, is that me? No.
Nah, but it could be you.
It's me like once a weekend a year where I'm like, yeah, this is the weekend that I like go do like up north things.
Yeah.
The rest of the time I just drink wine.
Go to Pyramid Point. Great little tiny hike with a great view.
I think that's the one we're going to do.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Otherwise, maybe I kind of want to go to like Sleepy Bear Dunes and like just drive. And just like go see them.
Also, Sleepy Bear.
What did I say?
No, you said Sleepy Bear.
Oh, isn't sleep. Sleep.
Sleeping Bear.
Oh. I'm going to go to Sleepy Bear.
I thought you were calling it that on purpose.
Three glasses of wine in.
Sleepy Bear Dunes. He's just a sleepy baby.
He's just sleepy. That's all he is.
That's really funny. I will just be shooting a wedding per huge.
Well, not really per huge.
Why?
Because quarantine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be wearing a mask outdoors.
No, I just mean like, it's not like you've been.
I have 5 in a row starting this weekend.
Oh, damn.
I know. Ugh. Just kidding. It's a joy. It's a pleasure.
I'm having a great time.
I'm having a great time.
Rather be, you know, like those like t-shirts and stuff that are like, rather be on the beach or rather be boat. Yeah. We need one that's rather be podcasting.
Should I wear one of those while I'm at someone's wedding?
Yeah, like rather be podcasting.
Also, I don't know why I feel because I literally had 6 months off.
I think it's hard to go back though.
It is. I haven't been consistently busy.
Yeah.
It's just been this world of in between. And I have a lot of other fun things going on that I'd like rather be doing.
Rather actually, be podcasting.
It's been great. They're all outdoors. They're really fun. I just hope it doesn't rain. A, because my rain jacket is at someone's house in Ada from the previous wedding. I forgot I left it there. And I just need to go pick it up, but it feels like such a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gated community, and I have to like figure out the number to get in. And then also, should I sneak in? That'd be more fun. Also, I haven't delivered their wedding photos yet, and I feel like I don't want to go get my coat and have the mom be like, haven't seen all the photos yet. I'm like, well, I still have time, but I've been not that busy.
Yeah. Well, but you
it's been 86 degrees in my house, and I can't work on my computer.
I mean, that's okay. You're going to get them to them when you get it to them.
I will. Oh, I have a question for all of you.
Am I supposed to answer for everyone?
Yeah, sure. Collectively. I'm asking Marge also, who's licking herself on my bag. I'm fine if she lays there, but...
She's just licking her paw.
I know, but her juices are just...
She doesn't have juices.
If McCoy was licking his balls on your bag...
She's not licking her balls. She's licking her paw.
But her balls are on my
bag. She doesn't have balls.
Her undercarriage area that sometimes is red and inflamed.
It's not red and inflamed right now. She is thriving.
Okay.
She has no open wounds right now.
Marge and I are going to hang out tomorrow.
Yeah.
My question is, so in another life that I am going to have, I'm going to be like a hairstylist because I've always thought that'd be such a fun job.
Okay, number one, that's not a question.
No, well, that's leading into my question. A local salon here that I really like, and I know the owner, I'll mention this to you later. They're hiring a full-time
receptionist,
like to be the receptionist and to take, they want you to have camera experience because they take like really professional looking before and afters for their salon. And I was like, should I do that in the winter?
You would hate it. You would hate having a boss, Abby.
I know the my job would be so easy.
Actually, being a receptionist is not easy at all. It's terrible answering phones. It's terrible being in customer service. It's terrible dealing with people who are like, I need to cancel my appointment. And you're like, I'm sorry, but you didn't give us 24-hour notice. So we are going to have to charge you 50%. I'm not going to pay 50. Those are the things you would deal with. It's not just like having a good time answering the phone.
Okay, but I have also handled, I'm sorry that COVID ruined your wedding. I cannot give you $3,000 back.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's your business. You're dealing with this for some other bullshit person but where you're getting paid like $11 an hour.
I just think it sounds so stress-free to me compared to the stress that I have of running my own business.
Maybe. I think
just
you're
going to winter months.
I think you're going
to
hate it.
What am I going to do this winter? I'm not going to be allowed to photograph indoors.
You're also going to have to like go to work.
But that sounds fun in the winter. It's local. I could, it's once I tell you where it is, you'll be like,
I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea. I think you have worked for yourself for too long that for you having to ask for time off or like make choices, I think you're going to get about 2 months in and you're going
to
be like,
all I need to do is 3 months.
Would they hire you for 3 months?
Who knows? Maybe. Maybe I'm such a great photographer that maybe it'll be worth it.
I'm sorry I'm not being more supportive, but I just feel like you aren't going to like it.
Fine. I did work at a hair salon in high school. That was a summer job. One summer I worked at The Salon in Grand Haven.
I kind of remember
I was the receptionist and I got my hair dyed all the time.
Because, well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it was free.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you would really like it. I don't know. I just feel like, especially in winter too, you like calm down and you get to do whatever you want. And you get
I've
to
been
go,
doing that for
I know, but you get to go like work out and you get to do the things. And I just feel like you'd be like, oh fuck, I have to like actually be at a job at this time from this time, 5 days a week, work Saturdays when you work. They're open on Saturdays.
I know.
You work, but you love your weekends in the winter because you don't have weekends
but I
in
wouldn't,
the summer.
I wouldn't work a 12-hour shift. I'd work like, what's the most, 8?
Yeah, but you'd still be working.
But I would be close to the Winchester.
Fine, do it. I don't care.
This is good.
Ruin your winter.
I just, it's a thought. All right, fine.
I mean, think about
what if it was a bookstore? Because that's another one of my dream jobs is to work at a bookstore.
I think you'd have more fun working at a bookstore than you would working as a receptionist, especially at a busy salon.
It feels chill.
You think that now until you're answering phone calls.
I'm good on the phone.
Okay.
Let's do Freaky Friday, switch bodies, and I can work at your work.
Yeah,
it'll
be
terrible.
You're going to
okay, but because you have to be like, they're all sad and they hurt and they're dealing with insurance.
Not just, it's not just that they're sad and they're hurt. People are just pissed because they're
That's
pissed
true.
Because people are pissed.
You're right. I will just watch Netflix all winter.
I mean, maybe you should try and do it. I don't know why I'm, you know what? Do it.
No, because then when I bitch you, you're not
going
to
be like, I told you so.
Okay, fine. Listeners, please give me your thoughts in the Facebook group. Would love to see it. What if I wish I could work like 20 hours.
Right. See, that's the
that
thing.
Would be ideal.
But I think they're going to, I mean, I don't know the opportunity.
Maybe I could negotiate. Be like, would you like someone for half the time?
Would you like someone for half the time for 3 months? They'd be like, I'd rather train someone to work for full time forever instead of.
I'll trade you a photo session. Okay, anyways, this was pointless. I probably should have not had this conversation on the podcast, but you know what? We have nothing exciting to report. So
stay tuned for our great conversation with our patron. And then after that, if you're a $10 patron listening on the Patreon app,
yes,
you will get the post up.
Yep. So we look forward to talking to you then and make sure you tune in to our lovely host. She's the best. Okay, bye. Hello and welcome back. We have the lovely Paige scrubbing in with us. Hi, Paige.
Hello. Hi, guys. How are
you? So happy you're here.
Thank you.
So the first question we love to ask is, who are you and what do you spend your time doing?
Yes.
Well, my name is Paige and I live in Northern Illinois.
Midwest.
Yep. Holla. Originally from Alaska, so I can't really play that card.
Oh, wow. Often,
but yeah, I'm a single mom. I have 2 sons and an awesome boyfriend. My boys are 10 and 8, and they're the coolest kids ever. I work for a small government, local government office as like an admin.
I picture you on Parks and
Rec. I was just going to say that.
I know. Well, and that's what I always tell people. It's like Parks and Rec, but not quite as fun. Yeah. Quite as quirky. But yeah, I'm the office administrator. So I'm kind of the cross between Leslie Knope keeping everything organized, but also kind of getting out of control crazy about things sometimes. So
perfect.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of Donna thrown in there.
Probably.
That's incredible. We always also like to know how or when did you start watching Grey's Anatomy? Where does your Grey's Anatomy journey begin?
My Grey's Anatomy story started way back. No, I actually, the first time I ever watched Grey's Anatomy, my girlfriend at the time and I were both working third shift jobs, and then we would get together in the morning and we would rent DVDs from Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Nice. Been there, done that.
Right. So we actually watched the first season on DVD of Grey's Anatomy and I was hooked, obviously. I took some breaks here and there, became a mom, did all that. But Grey's was the perfect show to watch late at night with newborns. So I caught up in 2009 and then I caught up in 2012. And now I've pretty much just kept up with everything. I'm current. So
perfect.
I'm good.
Do your boys know how much you love Grey's Anatomy?
They do. Well, we have a few shows. Actually, Parks and Rec is one of our favorite shows to watch together. Don't judge me. They watch it with me.
I cannot wait if I have kids till they're the age they can watch things with me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. My dream was to have children that loved Harry Potter. I was they have to love Harry Potter. And when my oldest son, Benjamin, turned 9, we had the most epic Harry Potter birthday party. So yes, it is a dream come true when you can share things that you love with your little people.
That's how I'll feel when Brie finally reads the book.
Okay. I am on book 5.
Throw you a birthday party.
My 30th birthday party is a Harry Potter birthday party.
Your bachelorette party.
Oh my God. Paige, I have the biggest fear. I feel like I'm going to have to break ethical rules and be Abby's therapist if she has children that don't like Harry Potter. Yeah. And be it's okay. They're allowed to be their own individual.
No, I know. Well, honestly, here's a little mom secret, because I know neither of you have kids. When they're small, they're so eager to please. So they're very easy to influence.
Great. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. I know that Abby's going to be reading the books to them
In the womb.
Yeah. So they'll just, a baby comes out of the womb and they're used to the dog, they'll just be used to Harry Potter.
Jim Dale reading the audio version. No, Brie, I'm going to be reading, if you ever have a child, in the womb to yours. You'll be stop reading this. I'll be no. Okay, perfect.
Okay, so
favorite character.
Yeah.
Okay, so my favorite characters change all the time. I'm sure everybody thinks that. I think my favorite characters as a whole, over the whole season, are the strong teacher figure characters. So I wrote down Mr. Feeny. I met Dr. Thomas.
Yeah.
Even though he was just a tiny piece of it. I love when main characters or special guests can come in and be those people. I love Richard Weber most of the time. I love Miranda Bailey most of the time, and then of course I love Christina.
What about you love the teacher characters. Is it Gina Davis who comes in? Is that who it is?
Yeah, she was kind of harsh and sassy, but I did. I appreciated how hard she pushed Arizona and really motivated her. Didn't take less than her full effort,
I like her too.
Yeah, I do.
I like Gina. I didn't remember. How'd you remember that name?
She's just awesome. Yeah.
I'm literally amazed that name.
I just pulled it out of my ass. And then I was I don't know if that's right, but I'm going with it. I'm confident.
You're right. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
That's great.
So who is one of your favorite couples in the show?
So my absolute favorite two characters to see interact were Christina and Alex.
Oh, interesting. That's fun. I don't think we've had that one before.
Evil Spawn.
Yes. I love how much she can be really condescending to him, but he loves it. And I love spoiler alert, we're a spoiler podcast, right? So
yes.
When she leaves And one of the last things she says to Meredith is like, you have to tease him or he doesn't know what to do. Like mm-hmm. she was still worried about like him being okay when she was gone. Yeah. But I just loved that. I mean, obviously Meredith and Christina are great, but like Alex was always there too. And he had just a really funny, they're so rude to each other, but they love it. And it just cracks me up.
Yes.
That's perfect.
I like that answer.
Yeah.
What's a hot take you have on Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah. Or yeah. Unpopular opinion.
That like everybody's a brat. Like everyone has their bratty moments. And it's so funny because as I was watching the episodes that we're talking about tonight, I got really angry at some of the characters that I was like, oh, they're my favorite. But then I was watching, I'm like, why are they acting like that? Why are they being a brat like that? You know,
specifically Bailey.
And yeah, but actually like Jackson. Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Like, this isn't a good look for him.
Not a good look at all. And even like Callie in Arizona, I know they're like fan favorites and I love them too. But like, they were arguing over things they agreed on. It was like they were arguing just to argue. And it was like, oh, there's so much defensiveness there. There's so much tension there that they can't even enjoy agreeing on something together. You know what I mean? So they're all brats. But I love them, but they're brats.
That's perfect.
Know? Yeah.
I like that. Honesty.
You want to do the last one?
What's the last? I thought that. Oh, how did you find this podcast?
Oh my gosh. So I have been a fan of podcasts since Serial came out. Serial was like my introduction to podcasts. And it's just grown increasingly crazy till then. My boyfriend's a farmer. And I was like, oh, you got to listen to podcasts while you're harvesting or while you're hauling or while you're doing. You'll love them. You'll love them. And he finally started listening too. And he's like, man, I'm really glad I discovered podcasts. And I'm like, no. I introduced him to podcasts. I was looking through my library one day and I realized that like all of the podcasts I listened to were like serial killer, murder mystery, like so dark. They were so dark. And I was like, you know, I should probably try to find something a little bit more lighthearted, a little bit more fun, a little bit more silly. And so I just started typing in things, you know, that I like, that I enjoy. I listened to a little bit of Gilmore Guys because I love the Gilmore Girls too. And so then it got me going down like, okay, what other TV shows am I engaged in or what other, you know, and I found you guys. I loved your picture.
Oh, yes. We shouldn't. I thought we should redo it.
I don't think we should.
No,
or if we did, we should same pose, same everything, but new hair.
Yeah.
Because I have better hair.
Because you know, I have short hair in that
one.
Yeah, I don't have red hair anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. We're glad that you tuned in and
that you're here tonight.
And that you're here. Yeah. We have a lot to chat about.
Yeah. Should we get into it?
Yeah. So we are talking about season 10, episode 19 and 20. I'm Winning and Go It Alone. I'll read the first one.
Sounds good.
All right. Short summaries. Christina is nominated for a Harper Avery, and although most of her fellow doctors are ecstatic, she won't let herself get too excited. Bailey continues to work on a young boy without an immune system. Alex considers making a change, and Derek and Callie work with a machine that can recognize emotions. Meanwhile, Richard gives the residents a pep talk with exciting projects going on around the hospital.
And then the second one is Christina enlists Meredith to help her prepare an acceptance speech for her possible Harper Avery win. And while Owen offers to attend the ceremony with her, she insists on going alone. Meanwhile, Derek feels overwhelmed between his responsibilities at home and at the hospital. April and Jackson come to a disagreement on children and religion, and Callie and Arizona try to reconnect in their marriage.
Perfect. First monologue. By Meredith Grey. The Harper Avery is one of the highest awards a surgeon can earn. They always make the calls to the nominees on the same Friday of the same month at 8 a.m. East Coast time, 5 a.m. in Seattle. My mother was nominated 5 times. I've been through this before. If the phone rings, everything changes. Suddenly, you're a superstar. If it doesn't, I don't know. My mom was a superstar. She always got the call. My mom didn't think she'd win. She thought it was a popularity contest and she wasn't popular. She was a woman and a fellow, and her arrogance could rub people the wrong way. She hadn't allowed herself to imagine the possibility of winning because she wanted it too much. And when they called my mom's name, she was genuinely shocked. It was validation of all her hard work and sacrifice. She came home and told me she didn't win the Harper Avery. She earned it.
Oh, MG. Second one is, surgery is a solo act. We step up to the table with a scalpel in our hand and we go it alone. The isolation can start to define you because even though you're surrounded by a team, what it really comes down to is your training, your choices, your wits, your hands, your stitch. It comes down to just you. Surgeons are trained to go it alone, to be solo artists, to be mavericks both in and out of the OR. But the truth is we are never alone. We stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We stand side by side with the colleagues who have supported us, prepared us for the moment that every surgeon lives for. When it all comes down to your training, your choices, your wits, your hands, your stitch, when it all comes down to you. Meredith Craig.
I feel like I want to hear the Law and Order. Dun, dun.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
I'll do Shotgun Workup.
Okay.
Shotgun Workup. Braden Morris, SCID... Oh, stands for Severe Combined Immunodeficiency, Lincoln McNeil, End-Stage Heart Failure, Cardiomyopathy, Protein S Deficiency, End-Stage Heart Failure, Keith Kelber, HIV Kidney Failure, Mafdi, HIV, Jill Kastliner, Facial Laceration, Adam Keller, GI Bleed, VFib, Nova Jenkins, Epilepsy, Ivy McNeil, Headache, Donor Heart Rejection, Frankie McNeil, Heart Failure, and Mark Quaid, Sharp Force Trauma to the Head.
And then for rounds, we have April and Jackson, their money differences and leading into moral differences and ultimately their really big fight. Then we have Yang being nominated for a Harper Avery and then colleague jealousy and what happens at the award show. We have the Neal family. Lincoln is saved by Christina's operation only to then be on a transplant list with Ivy and Frankie, the other two siblings. Alex calls the private practice and says he's interested in working there. So he's working like pretty much 24 hours a day.
I love he says moonlighting.
Moonlighting, yeah. Callie in Arizona deciding to have a second baby. Also within that storyline is Callie kind of realizing that she's depressed, which I think we can kind of maybe talk about Derek's thing in there a little bit. Yeah. And then Derek and Meredith are juggling too many things at once. Something has to give, but what? I don't know. And then Bailey is still working on her genome project. And then... Ben is tired.
I said there was some Bailey and Ben, but I did not know what the point of that was yet.
So maybe we can figure it out.
I just wrote IDK.
Yeah. But first notes.
Paige, why don't you go first?
Well, my first notes is that bed looks so comfy. Meredith Always. And Christina are in bed asleep. And I was like, oh, it looks so comfy. But then I also have Mara's like the best hype woman for Christina. She gives her like lipstick to put on to take the phone call, which cracked me up.
I love it.
And then before when the phone rang, before she answers, she's like, you earned this. You deserve this. Be gracious, but be humble. You know, it was awesome. Yeah. I want her to just follow me around like Jerry from Cheer. Pump me up all day long.
I said it makes me want to have a sleepover with you because I've had a sleepover, like woken up with a girlfriend in my bed in a long time.
Well, you know, I wrote, cuties sleeping over together. And then I wrote, have we ever slept in the same bed together?
We had our own beds. But we did stay in the same bed when we watched, what movie was on? No, because I was in my bathing suit. We've had to have slept in college when you
We slept on an air mattress that time you puked in the bushes and your grandma showed up.
But I would like to have one now.
Yeah, no, I'm down for that.
Okay, cool. We can make John sleep in one of the guest rooms and I'll sleep
in the king together. Yeah. Okay. I love to, Paige, how you were saying how she tells her to put on some lipstick. Like that's like the thing at 5 a.m.
Yeah, so funny.
She says, you are Christina Yang. You are going to change the face of medicine.
Yeah. I also love when she finally gets the phone call and Yang screams, what do I do? And they're all like, answer the phone.
Yeah.
Well, I love too, like when Alex and Joe come running in and Joe's phone goes off and she's like, oh geez, hairball. She calls Joe hairball. And I just was like, oh my God, because her hair is all bedheady. It was so funny.
And then I love, like, very soon, like, right when they're in the hospital, Derek has a photo of Christina.
Yes,
and
I made a note of that, too.
Wait, Callie.
Yeah, Derek has a photo on his phone of Christina making the call or getting the call.
Oh, that's cute. I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
I know, and she's like, she wears lipstick at 5 a.m.
Oh, right. I did hear that. I guess I just didn't see the phone part. That's funny.
Yeah.
I love that. Should we just talk about the Christina thing since we're on it?
Sure.
And I'm hype about it. So again, these episodes to me are like kind of like, I sort of remember what happened, but I didn't remember the details. And it was just, they were like kind of exciting for me to see how everyone reacted, because we don't really get this again. Because when Mare, which we're going to talk about in post-op, so I don't want to talk too much about like the Harper Avery as its own thing. Mm-hmm. But when Mare gets it, there's not like a big lead up like there is with this Christina storyline. And like, they talk about when she's doing her research episodes prior that she might be nominated. You know what I mean? There's like talk of it. The Mayor one, I don't remember like it being this big thing until that one episode.
Yeah.
So it was cool to see like how the whole hospital like had that little party that Mayor planned. And
yeah. So yeah, there's this huge celebration for Christina and her nomination. I was like, oh, that's really sweet. But you can also tell that like Christina's not feeling it. Like she's not
right.
feeling everyone being in her face about being nominated.
Richard is loving it.
Oh, Lord.
Oh my gosh. He was so freaking proud. I love it when he's like standing with his hands on his hips and he's like, innovation, imagination, excellence. And it's
like, yeah, oh, and he goes, soak it in, doctors. It's all around you. After he says those words, he's thriving. And it's not so even funny. Like him winning it, but I think he's just so proud that someone in his midst, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's super proud. I think a lot of people are really proud. Shane says, like, we got nominated. Like, mm-hmm. he is kind of riding her coattails a little bit, you know? And then Bailey is not very happy. And she doesn't, it's not initially that we find out that she is jealous, but you can kind of sense that she is. Like, that she molded and shaped Christina and, like, you know,
yeah, she says to Meredith, I would be most grateful if you would extend my heartfelt congratulations to Dr. Yang for me. That couldn't be more impersonal than like
so
to someone
cool. yeah,
that you trained.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember where they were going with it, but I understand like where she is. And I feel like the only person that can call her out on it is Richard, because he knows her, you know, deeper than anyone else really does, I think. And I can imagine being the teacher that taught that person, it would be really hard.
Yes.
Well, and I think too, Richard had dealt with watching Ellis get them too. So he's like maybe had some practice, like being genuinely happy for someone else and their accomplishment. You know, he's had practice not being the one to win, you know.
That's a really good point.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
Totally.
I just have in huge letters. I'm like, everyone wants a Harper Avery. Like they're all talking about their projects and ooh, Harper Avery. If I win an award, I won't say no. You know, they're all so excited.
Yes, absolutely. But I think you're right about Richard that Ellis won how many? Like four?
Yeah, four.
Yeah.
And Richard hasn't won any.
Right. And I think you're right too, that like, this is the first experience. Bailey wasn't there when Alice was winning them, you know, like this is like the first time it's happening so close to home for her. And I love that Richard says to her, that like, if you don't talk about this, it will eat you alive, which is so true. Like, I feel like airing of grievances, like just settle in deeper. And then when he says, this might not be the exact sentence, but he says something like, Bailey, you have your genome work, the things you could do, the lives you could save, and I think that it's helpful of him to remind her that like, it might not win an award, but it's going to save lives. And that's just as important. I think also it's important to know how much pressure Bailey is putting on herself for this boy. She says to Richard, that poor boy spends the rest of his life in a bubble if I can't figure out how to fix his mutation. Like, yes, that's true, but not like it is not her sole responsibility. And I feel like she's taking this whole boy's life onto her like hands, sort of, which she's dealing with a lot.
Which I feel like Bailey does that a lot with her patients. You know, I feel like that's kind of Bailey's MO, is to like really bear the weight of things that are not fully hers, boundary issues, if you will.
Well, and it's so funny because she calls Meredith out in this episode for being too emotionally involved. And then she's like, rookie mistake. We're not talking about that storyline yet, but she specifically calls out Meredith for being too emotionally involved in her patient.
Right, the HIV.
And I was like, patients. Yeah. And I was like, oh, really, Bailey? Oh, really?
Yeah, right. When you're doing the exact same thing with your patient.
It was, so she voices it to Richard then, but then nothing happens there. And then after that, we get that. I loved the scene when we see Yang, like, first of all, they're all talking about winning the Harper Avery and what would you do? And she's just like, can you all shut up? Like, I need to learn all of this research. before, which I feel like again is like shows the growth of Christina. Cause I think old Christina would have been thinking about her competition, you know? And like, we learned that she was, but in that moment she was like, I need to be able to do the surgery. And then when she's sitting at the table and she's mimicking what she needs to do, I was like, man, she's like a legend.
She's a genius.
Yeah. Do you have a headache? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just have a tiny bit of a, just a little temple.
I just
temple
felt like I was yelling at you.
And oh, it's fine. Just a little bit, you know, where it just hits in your temple.
Yeah.
Maybe I need Derek Shepherd to take a scan of my brain.
Are you depressed?
No. I'm super happy. I'm like very happy.
Look at Marge. Does it make you happy?
It does, actually.
Okay, good. I just loved that scene. And I love to... Well, everyone in the gallery was being so annoying, like talking about her.
All like the residents?
Yeah. And then Mayor turns off the intercom because Christina asks.
I also love, too, that like Derek comes up and is like, you know, pretty much like, you're jealous. And I like that Meredith could admit that to Derek.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
You know, like, yeah, of course I'm jealous. And I like wore...
waterproof mascara.
Yeah, because if I cried today, I would say like, I'm crying because I'm so happy. And like, she throws this big breakfast... champagne toast to like hide her jealousy.
It's awesome. It's so real, too.
Well, and he says, you're a genius. And she goes, well, maybe you should call the Harper Avery people and tell them that. So
I love
perfect.
That.
I was glad that she admitted that feeling because unlike Bailey didn't admit it. You know, like it was like a healthier version of being jealous, I think.
Yeah. And I feel like Meredith kind of knows like, her time will come. And yes. Right now, like this whole season has been Meredith and Christina fighting about shit like this. Mm-hmm. And then it's really nice to see that this time around Meredith is just like holding her shit in and just being supportive of her best friend. It shows some growth in Meredith's character, I think, too.
For sure. And then we have Bailey finally going up to Christina.
And I really loved that moment.
Me too.
She said, too.
Yeah, she congratulates her, and Christina doesn't really say anything. Or she says, thank you, I think.
No, she doesn't say thank you. She said, it's like, just a nomination.
Oh, right, that's right.
Yeah.
And she says, Bailey says, I taught you better than that. Well, she like marches over to her in the elevator. She says, I taught you better than that. When someone congratulates you, you smile and you tell them thank you. And so then she does that. And I also feel like that gave Christina permission to be excited almost, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, like this is a big deal. And like one of your mentors is congratulating you and like sincerely congratulating you. You're allowed to feel happy about this.
Yep.
And you're allowed to want it too. Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like, you know, when you want something so badly, I feel like that's kind of what Christina is doing is like, I just like, don't make a big deal. Because I think she actually really, really, really wants it.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I think she's wanted one since, well, probably forever, but especially after Bert got his.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. After Bert
good
got
point.
His.
Yeah. At the end of this first episode, too, there's in the monologue, Meredith's talking about her mom winning them. And I loved how in that moment, it's like showing Christina. It's like leads into that scene with Christina and Owen in the fan room. Mm-hmm. But I just love the like mirroring that, like, I just think so much. I mean, Christina is so like Ellis.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it gives, I just love that whole part of the show too, that I feel like it helps Meredith understand her mom better when she understands Christina. But then Christina and Owen are back in the fan room, which again, I feel like now in that moment, we're saying goodbye to that room. Mm-hmm. It sort of felt like I just, they're saying goodbye to so many things with her. And we learn, which I love so much, that Christina did look at all of her other nominees, read all of their abstracts, knows everything about them, and knows she has a good chance.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right before that scene, Murphy is looking for a photo of Ellis.
Oh, yeah.
And winning the Harper.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Richard has the photo. He has it in his wallet.
I know. And he's in it.
It's so sweet, I think.
It was her first one, too.
Yeah, that he carries that around with him. And that just shows like an extension of like, I know he like loved Alice, obviously, but he also, I think, was just super proud, just as he's like super proud of Christina.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm.
So. Do you carry around a photo of me?
Yes, I do.
Jake, for a very long time, I think it's gone now because it was so fit. It had my senior photo in his wallet.
Oh, that's odd.
Because I think when we started dating, I mean, I was a freshman in college, so it wasn't that old, you know what I mean? And then I was like, you need to, this looks like you're carrying a 17-year-old around in your wallet.
Did your dad in his billfold have like photos?
My dad always had a money clip. He never used a full wallet.
My dad had a billfold.
With all those photos?
Yeah, and so he had like me from like when I was a baby to like fifth grade to like senior.
No,
like,
one uses those anymore.
I know. And he had all the kids in there and he had like one of him and my mom and like...
Like think about if John had a billfold.
That would be adorable. I'm getting him a billfold.
Remember
and I'm just going to put a bunch of photos of me in it. And one of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's just keep talking about Christina and what happens. So right in the beginning of the next episode, Owen wants to make a night of the boss... in Boston for the Harper Avery. It's in Boston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For the event. He's like, it's the biggest day of your life. He like, and she's just very like, no, I'm good.
I just want to be alone.
Yep.
I just want to do this alone. But she does want Meredith to help her write the speech. They're supposed to go to the bar together. And Owen's like, oh, you're going to like write your acceptance speech over vodka? And she's like, tequila. Duh.
I know.
I love that.
I wrote that down.
What would you two write your acceptance speech over? What alcohol if you had to choose, if you drink?
Jack Daniels.
Oh, that's good. Mine will probably nowadays.
It has to be a liquor. Oh, no, it could be anything. I love
it. Nowadays it would be probably wine, but if it was liquor, it would be Jameson or Beam and soda.
Ooh. If mine had to be liquor, I think it would be. I really like those fancy. No, what if I said Malibu and water?
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm not going to do that. It would be the fancy Kettle Botanicals because I really like those with water.
Oh, that's bougie.
It's good. I am bougie, I suppose. Otherwise, yeah, for sure, red wine.
Yeah.
And
then spill the red wine all over
my speech and have to start over and be hungover on the day of the event.
Or spit it on your computer like I did that one time.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
So I love the scene too. I don't know if you had notes on this, you guys, but when Mare can't go with Christina to the bar, she then invites Alex, who can't go because he's moonlighting. And then she's about to invite Kepner. She goes, hey, Kepner. And she goes, hey. And then she goes, never mind.
That's so funny. I know.
Like her energy was just too much. Like Christina was like, no.
It's not worth it. I don't want to hang out with someone that bad to hang out with Kepner.
I feel like she would have been good with like Callie. She should have invited Callie.
Callie in Arizona had a date night.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Yeah. So from there, Christina just decides, like, I'm just going to go alone to the Harper Avery, like, awards. It's going to be fine. I'm not even going to be there, like, what, 24 hours? Mm-hmm. Maybe 24 hours. I'm not checking a bag, whatever. And then I don't know if you guys have notes about them, like, waiting outside for the cab. And she says, like, this is not some, like, glamorous goodbye. And I just felt like it was kind of, like, foreshadowing to, like,
how she leaves.
Her leaving.
In a cab, too.
Yeah.
That's the last scene.
Yeah. And how like she doesn't really have a big like goodbye with Owen.
That's a good catch.
So I don't know.
The goodbye with Owen, I already am emotional thinking about it.
Yeah. Paige, do you have any notes about up until this point about the Harper Avery Christina storyline?
Well, I love it when she was practicing her speech in the McNeil's. Is it McNeil?
Yeah, McNeil.
The heart patients, that family. Yeah. And she was like saying it to him. She's like, how does that sound? They're like playing Jenga.
Yeah.
And Lincoln was like, well, it's a little braggy. And she was like, well, it's supposed to be braggy. I'm winning an award.
Right. Yeah. That was a great moment.
Yeah. So funny.
So then she doesn't end up going to that bar to write the speech because she ends up staying with the kids.
Right.
Who...
Well, she pages Owen and Owen comes in and he's like, what are you still doing at the hospital? And she's like, well, a bunch of stuff happened because the parents had gotten in a fight and she stayed to
keep an eye
on the kids. Yeah.
Trying to figure out what the purpose of these families is. Is this what gets her to go to the other country? Like, does this case...
I think so, Zurich.
Thank you. I was about to say Germany again and be wrong. Okay, that makes more sense to me because I'm like, why are they here?
I think so.
It has to. It's hearts. It has something to do with hearts.
And conduits.
Yeah, something. And so...
Or like, she's going to go like grow her own hearts or something like that.
Yeah, she does something like that.
Yeah, God, but it's so weird. Sorry, ghost. Family drives me bonkers.
It is, yeah.
Totally.
Well,
it's like this, like it just, everything's calm and then like everything goes to hell. It's so weird. My notes about their room are just ridiculous. It's like, what the fuck is going on with this family?
Yeah, and it's, I think the way it's like framed too, which I don't remember, I guess we don't know how or why this keeps happening to them, but my brain keeps going in a direction like pollutants in the air by their house. Like, but I don't think that's what it is. Like, but I just want to know.
Find out? I don't remember ever knowing
I don't know.
I might be wrong. I don't remember, but I just remember thinking like it felt like mold in the house.
We'll have our producer look into it. We don't have a producer, but
I feel like it's like, like weird, like carpet or something, you know? Yeah.
Bree says carpet. Wait, you say carpet. Paige, what did you guess?
Paige, mold.
Okay, mold, carpet. I'm going to say nuclear banner in there.
Yeah. So mine is probably not Chernobyl. Right. I think mold makes the most sense, but carpet. I meant like more like mold in the carpet or something, you know?
Yeah, because Ivy, I mean, I guess we'll do a quick run through of them after we get through this. So she stays with the kids, does all she can, and then she ends up doing surgery, right?
Yeah, she does.
Because one of the kids, which I don't remember which one, she has that, Frankie. She's rejecting the heart transplant. She has like the creepy leg thing happens.
Yes. And I loved, there was this moment when—
No, that was Ivy.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Ivy. Frankie was the one found by the, Bubble Boy. So there's a great moment when she's operating and Alex, Christina and Meredith are all in the hospital. It's the middle of the night. They're pulling an all nighter again. And this is when like Alex tells them about that he's been doing the private practice or whatever. But what I felt like is this was a goodbye again of some sort of the three of them
in the hospital working
together. In the same room being like, wow, look at us working our butts off. Like I don't know that there's another scene where that happens. And so it felt, cause they make a comment about like, wow, the three of us all together again.
We haven't done this in a while. And they're like all joking about like, you're an ass. Like Christina says, like, if you get a Harper Avery, she's like, you mean when I get a Harper Avery, you know, they're all just being good friends.
You're right. And then Owen does send Christina off in a cab, which good catch. It's like, happens again. Okay, guys, can we just take a minute to talk about how bomb ass Christina looked with her hair up like that? The dress.
I know.
She's beautiful.
She is beautiful. I mean, stunning. My note was, whoa. Like, I just was like, it was surprising.
It was like a flop. You know, like when people with curly hair do the thing in their towel, it's called like a plop. I think plopping it is, no, I literally think that's the word.
Okay.
You like pile it on your head and then you wrap it in a towel to make it curly. But I just loved that. It made me be like, wow, I should really grow my hair out long and get a perm. That was my thought when I saw her.
I mean, Christina's hair is bomb.
It's so good. It's good in Killing Eve. It's good all the time. It's really just, she's blessed.
Very jealous of her hair.
But she just looks so beautiful.
Yeah. And so then she's like chatting with these people. Ugh. And it's like, you know, going to any event like that, it's just hard. And she's like up for an award. And then she calls Mare and she's just like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, why am I alone? I don't want to be alone.
And she forgot deodorant.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I love that too. Yeah, and she's like, oh, I smell. Ah. And then she's like, and I want Owen here. Like, Owen could hold my bag and like say things to me.
Right.
Yeah. You know, which is like so true when you have like your partner there, just be like, just like hold this and be supportive of me. Thank you.
And they're all talking to her like she is a god, but they're all like, oh, you're Christina Yang. Yes. Like, it's not real conversations.
Yes. And then Mara's like, and then she's like, you know what? I'm fine. And Meredith's like, are you at your table? And she's like, it's cool. Like, I'm fine. And hangs up and walks in. And I have so many GGBs in tears.
Like, yeah, same.
When they both stand up and like wave at her.
Can you imagine that feeling of you're all alone and then you're actually not?
And you're not alone. Oh, yeah. That's how I feel about you, Abby.
I know. Like, if me and John were just
there.
And just seeing Owen too, especially like, again, it's like these last few episodes, how Owen and her are. If they could have just been like this
forever
and not had that moral difference, then like, because that is just like, he is like, they just really love each other. And it's beautiful to see him be there for her, even though things are complicated.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that the What If episode or whatever, the one where we saw the two outcomes of Christina's life, like didn't actually happen. Sometimes I'm like, wait, but they just had that big fight. Actually, they didn't at all.
Mrs. Rodriguez. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And then
Catherine Avery.
Catherine, da da da.
In her like odd dress.
She's always wearing something. She does not dive into fashion norms. She does her own thing.
Yeah, it's like it's a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Debbie Allen is there.
And it's a
presents the Harper Avery Award, and it does not go to Christina.
I love that Mayor and Christina hold hands. Uh-huh. And like Christina has her like fucking note cards out, like ready to go. And that pause, it's like, you know, when you watch at the Oscars, yes, and stuff, that pause before she starts clapping for the person who wins, she's like in disbelief almost, and then like comes to reality.
And
of
does
like,
a fake happy.
Like, shit, I need to be like.
Yeah, it's really rough to see. Such great acting.
My last note is fuck, period.
Mine is I hate this episode, which I didn't hate this episode. I really enjoyed it, but I think I hated the outcome.
Yeah.
I know, I have woof.
Woof, yeah.
Oh, I know. Well, and she, like, it's, you can see it on her face, like, she kept telling everyone, oh, I don't, you know, it's just a nomination. And but you could tell, right, she so wanted to win, and then she thought she was going to win. And it's like, I don't know, just the realization that like, oh, I like really didn't win.
And I really wanted to.
Yeah, I really wanted to. And I really deserve to, too.
Yeah, and she would have. She totally would have if it weren't for all the other things, you know. But, like, it's so frustrating, too, because, like, I feel like she was playing it super cool. And then it's like, I don't even think she got cocky, but it's like when everyone is telling you,
right,
you're going to win, you start believing it yourself. Mm-hmm. And then it's, like, mm-hmm, that much more disappointing.
Yeah.
Because even everyone at the award ceremony was, like, so excited to meet her, you know? Mm-hmm. Ugh. And then I think that in that moment, I think we'll realize like, well, fuck, then her career is like done where she's at because she can't.
Right. It's also, I just thought about too, like it's like a third outcome that we didn't see in that What If episode. Like she isn't going to be with Owen, but she also still didn't win, you know, mm-hmm, like there, it's not, it actually isn't because of Owen that she can't, right, it's just her where she is. And yeah. So, I just think it's genius writing. Really good writing.
Really, really good writing.
Again, it makes
me... I wonder how we felt when we saw it the first time, because I bet we all thought she was going
to
win.
Right. Like, it'd be what a way to send her off the show, winning the Harper Avery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God, I can't wait till the episode with Burke.
I know. Oh,
are you finished?
No. Oh, it's so good.
That should have been our tattoo.
Are you finished? No.
Anything else on Christine Yang and the Harper Avery? I think the next thing we should do is talk about the McNeil family or Neil family. I don't know.
Well, okay. Can I make a little comment,
please,
real quick too?
Please.
So when the build up, everyone at the hospital was like super excited about her nomination, and like the interns were talking about like when they win a Harper Avery. I don't know if you guys, but Stephanie says, well, I'm going to thank my parents, obviously. And Joe was like, why? They didn't win the Harper Avery. And Steph goes, they gave birth to me. They should be publicly acknowledged. And I thought that was so funny. It should be publicly acknowledged.
Also, if you're either of your children win a Harper Avery, you better be publicly acknowledged, is what I feel like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great. Yeah. None of them do win one. Hmm. At least, I mean, like Joe, Steph, Shane.
Nope.
Who knows about it? We don't know about Joe.
Well, maybe
she's got
Joe.
Time.
Yeah. Joe could win one.
All right. Let's just quick do a rundown of what happened with... Okay, now I wrote Neil... Okay, wait. It's McNeil. It's McNeil. Okay. It's McNeil. Okay, so... They... At first, like, you think they're doing well, and they have, like, a headache. The one... Ivy has...
Also, like, Frankie's running around.
Right, playing with Brayden a lot. And... In the beginning, like Frankie's pace worker is working great. Ivy's eating sour cream and onion chips, and Christina takes them away from her, but then eats them herself.
Only heart healthy foods.
Right. And then we learn that the FDA isn't going to give this heart or something for Link. They're 6 months away from an approval. And so they're still waiting on Unos. And that is for Lincoln. Link. I wonder if that's how they tested out that name for a future character. Yeah. And then there's that fight between the parents, which like I get like high stress, and I feel like that's a very common real life thing. It just, I just don't care about this storyline that much.
That's the thing, is like, I feel like that is a very real storyline, and I feel like I could get down on it and feel GGBs about it, but I just don't care about the storyline, and I don't think I'm sorry to say, I don't think is great acting and just doesn't feel very believable to me.
We don't know much about this family other than that they're all not doing well. Like, there's not a lot of backstory. You know?
Well, as a mom, I can put myself in the shoes where, like, stuff is happening with your kids and you're not sure what's happening. And that's, like, the scariest thing in the world when there's something wrong with your children. And I understand, like, the frustration and, you know, taking it out on Christina and yelling at her in front of the kid. Like, it just, it, but even as a parent, I'm like, no, you don't yell at the doctor in front of the kids. Like, you do that in the hall. You don't, if you feel like you need to vent, you don't do that in front of your sick kids, you know? And I don't know. It was just, they all keep getting worse. And it's like, she's doing her best. They've got three doctors because Arizona's working on it. Owen's working on it. Christina's working on it. Like,
and Karev.
Mm-hmm. And Karev, yeah, we're trying.
It made me think about the difference of, remember that episode where there was that like multi-family car accident that Mayor and Alex were taking care of, and like every family member ends up dying except like that. Yeah. I was way more invested. So I just think it's just situational sometimes. Like, we're just seeing them in the hospital and I don't know, but, and also the, like the story with like the little boy finding Frankie with his little thing. I was like, first of all, I love that Alex made that. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just like not that invested, but they're all doing terribly and that's where it ends.
I mean, pretty much they all are back on the transplant
list. Yeah, which is terrifying. I cannot even imagine because then who gets it first?
Well, they were like, we started the day with one of our kids on the transplant list and we ended it with all three. And then like the nice thing at the end, I mean, I feel bad, like the dad would like went to cool off in his car and fell asleep and his phone died or whatever. And they like hug and I don't know. I was like, good on you. Cause I would be like, why the fuck did you fall asleep when you were cooling down? Like you know, I don't know. I felt like that was a little unrealistic.
Don't you have a car charger?
Well, I think that was the whole, cause that was at the go it alone episode. And I think that they were like trying to insinuate like the mom was having to deal with that all by herself too.
Yeah.
Like all she kept like frantically, which was just annoying. I was kind of like, I don't know.
Some storylines or some patients are more invested. Like,
yeah, you just don't get. Others. Yeah, you just.
Usually, if they're old and cute.
The elderly couples. Oh, God. Can't think about them.
Okay, what do we want to talk about next?
Should we talk about Callie in Arizona?
Sure, let's do it.
Callie's depressed.
She tries to fake it. Like if you just use a happy voice.
Yeah. Then like I am happy. I have a baby. I have a house. I have a this. And he like shows the picture of the kit. And she's like, yeah, I love cats. No.
So funny. I love that the machine is called the Meg. They're like, the Meg is here. We're going to go play with our big fancy machine. And Arizona's like, you have a Meg? Doesn't that cost $1 jillion? She calls it $1 jillion. I was cracking up.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, they have so much fun playing with their machine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I love, too, like, having Wilson, like, first, like,
oh, yeah,
Wilson's, like happy pleasure center doesn't light for up for cats. And they're like, Wilson, you don't like cats? And she's like, no, hate them, allergies. And then and they're like, you don't like beaches either? And she's like, no, skin cancer, like, sand, this, that. And then, you know, Callie says something about, like,
the bone.
Yeah, like resetting an arm or something. And she gets like very excited.
I want to go in that machine.
I don't think I do. I don't want to.
It's like a terrible lie detector though.
Yeah.
Like, are you happy in your life? Yeah.
Yeah.
Says no. I also love too when Callie goes in it again. She's like, I was eating low blood pressure or low blood sugar. Like I'll be good now. Mm-hmm. And Derek is like, I got a great name for you of someone who really helped me out when I was doing low, which one little nod, I was like, oh, good. Derek did go to therapy.
That is good. Yeah. But also I love too, she's telling this like intricate, like detailed story about like, and then I knew this is why I wanted to be an ortho. And he's like, yeah, you're still depressed. Like that is, didn't work.
And then Mare comes in with baby Bailey. And it lights up. At first I was confused. I was like, wait, she's attracted to Meredith? Or at first I thought it was like because Mare and Dara were being very cutesy.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, is it because they're a happy couple? Like, and then I was like, oh, the baby. I don't know. Clearly that's where I'm at, that my brain didn't like think that. And I got really nervous because right after that, Arizona looks at the family with the three sick kids when she walks away. And my thought was, uh-oh, Callie wants another baby. Arizona is like, oh my God, look what happens if you have more. They just get sick and die. And I was afraid that they were going to like clash on that subject. I was really surprised when Arizona was like,
well, I think Arizona realized, like, when they were all hugging each other, that they were like, I want my daughter to have
someone to hug.
Like siblings.
Yeah.
I think
so too. I mean, and there was that scene you're talking about, Paige, where like they're fighting about agreeing. I think they're just so used to fighting that they just assume the other isn't going to
be on their side.
Right. And so it's like shocking when they are on the same side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Callie ends up like being completely honest, was like, I need to tell you something, Arizona. And like Arizona thinks Callie cheated. And Callie's like, wait, what? No, like I want another baby. And then Arizona wants another baby. And then they're fighting about
the cheating comment.
Yeah. And then they're fighting about like, what else are they fighting
about?
Well,
she's just like, after all of this, you think I would cheat on you? And she's like, wait, you want another baby? Like they didn't even realize they agreed.
Yeah.
She doesn't want Sophia to have to bury her alone.
Which I don't get.
Yeah, that's the total, like, and then Callie's mad that she's thinking about it logistically not just because she wants another baby. She's like, that's morbid.
Yeah.
But I feel like it makes sense.
But I think, logistically and like she was thinking about like really sad things, but actually it was like being really loving to Sophia in a way.
Yeah, for sure.
They just see things a little differently.
Yeah. And then they're supposed to go... Was this when they were supposed to go on a date, the second episode? Mm-hmm. And then they end up watching Derek
Baby
and Mary's,
Bailey.
And Zola. And then they talk about who's going to have the kid this time. I love to, like, what a way to do the gut instinct thing is like do a coin toss. And when it's in the air, you realize what answer you want.
Yeah. I want you to carry.
God, if I was in a relationship with another woman, that would be the best. Because I'd be like, you can do it. I believe in you. I will support you all the way. I will just be here to observe.
Yeah.
Maybe I should.
Yeah. Are you asking me?
Yeah. Or I honestly, if men could carry, I know Jake would do it in a heartbeat and I would fully support it.
Yeah, I would support it too.
That would be awesome. He would be so whiny though.
He would be.
Any man pregnant would be. This fruit fly is out to get us.
Yeah, really.
Paige, there's a fruit fly because we're drinking wine.
And it has been like in our face the entire time.
I feel like we're also in the dark.
It's really dark in here.
Oh, God. And Paige, did you have any notes about that conversation that Callie and Arizona had?
Arizona. Not really. Just what you guys said. They're arguing over who will get... Again, like, I don't understand why they went to 100 with it. Like, it's not something to fight over or, like, I don't know. They just... Arizona seems so... Well, they both seemed like Arizona's like, well, why would you just assume that? And Callie's like, well, because you said this. And it was like, they were trying to decide on something that they both wanted. Like, it didn't have to be so acrimonious. You know, it's like, well, let's talk about it. And maybe it's just their style of communicating that puts me on edge. But I was just like, calm down. Like, have a drink. Calm down.
You guys aren't pregnant yet.
Right.
I know. So, but, you know, it's exciting for them. I'm glad they agree on it. So that I get really sick of the whole arguments because it's in a few, two or three, like, kind of couple storylines about kids. And it's kind of... You know, you think about Owen wanting Christina to have a baby so bad. And she's like, I'm not going to change my mind. But that's what Arizona was saying when her and Callie first got together, too. Like, I am not having children. I do not want to have it. I don't want to have
tiny
any
humans.
Kids. Mm-hmm. And then she changed her mind. So I don't know. I was ready to move on from that story.
I feel you.
I get that.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to interrupt the podcast to tell you all that my mom just texted me. And we're going to Wisconsin next week to visit our grandparents, my grandparents. And she goes, Grandma wants to know what we're drinking nowadays, which is just like, I love that my grandma's shopping now a week ahead in time and needs to know what alcohol I'm drinking.
I love that. That's a good grandma.
Good thing I prepared my answer with our...
Yeah.
I'm going to write my acceptance speech to something. All right. Well, let's move on. We have Alex. We have April and Jackson. We have Derek and Mare. We can just talk about them maybe because we talked about their kids a little bit. and Callie.
Yeah, Derek and Meredith. So Meredith is pulling an all-nighter, and then Derek, like, is getting in trouble for not teaching enough and canceling, like, lectures. And so he decides he's going to do a surgery that night that he's been pushing back, and he's going to make everyone watch. And this is where it comes in that Ben's tired, which we can talk about, I guess. But we don't really know where, like, Meredith had asked Derek to take the kids for the night because Richard made her pull an all-nighter.
He totally tricked her. I know.
Totally.
He had plans to go out with Christina. And he, like, I love the look. He, like, when he's kind of leaning and looking at her, and he's like, this is where you volunteer. Like, yeah. I don't want to do this. I know. And then no matter what she said, he's like, great, you already pulled one. You're well rested. You can pull another one. It just, and yeah. He like walked away before she even realized she'd agreed to it. It was
a
like,
Richard move.
It's a classic.
Hit and miss. Yeah, exactly.
Also, Derek agrees to picking up the kids after he just agreed to do something else. Like, his brain is not functioning.
Yeah.
I also, I have a note that Derek is either 100% or 0%. Like, so he's like, all right, I guess I have to teach. Well, I will go all in and teach like I've never taught before.
Yeah.
And like, there's no, like, I don't think that Richard necessarily needed him to do that, like, and totally abandon all other things. Like, you can do a little bit here and there, but he's like, all right, I guess I'm going to teach. So I'm going to go, like, all in.
The thing that's really frustrating.
Tonight.
Yeah right now, this
immediately.
Minute.
Yeah.
The thing that's really frustrating, well, I said, like, that would be so scary not knowing where your children mm-hmm. are. I mean, Meredith is like elbows deep in a patient, like trying to fix this bleed and stuff. And she's like, where the fuck are my kids? Your husband's not picking up. Like, the daycare is closed. Like, you don't have the kids. No one knows where they are. And then we find out that, like, Callie and Arizona have the kids. And what really fucking frustrates me is Derek's response to it all. He says, let's take a step back a second and realize the kids are fine. I just forgot to make a phone call. It was like, that is super fucking shitty.
Yeah.
That's
that's the one ball you don't drop. And I think she says that, like, you can't drop this ball again.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
This, yeah.
But like,
that drove me crazy. Well, I would have punched him right in the nose.
I know, Paige. And the thing is, like, I think she says, like, you can't drop the ball on this one. And that's his response. It's like fucking gaslighting and like downplaying, like,
so
you're
bad.
Being a little you're overreacting a little bit. Like, and to be fair, like, at the end of the episode, he apologizes about what he says and he like admits that he was wrong. But I think he's just trying to, I don't know.
He gaslights all the time.
Yeah. And then it's just like, let's realize the kids are fine. I don't know. I was just like, Derek, you can't say that. That's not fair.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and also, how the hell do I get friends that I can have pick up my kids and keep them overnight at a moment's notice?
Are you going to be that friend?
That's, I will so be that weird. Friend.
Aww.
That's nice.
Only because they like Harry Potter. That's only
Yeah, because I've trained them.
Yeah. What if I was like, cool, I'm not doing that for
because
your kids?
Because they're actually our kids, because we actually end up married you carry them.
That's fine. It would probably work out. Abby and I have talked about, like, if we were partners in life, that we would have such a beautiful home. Like,
we'd be so pretty. Like,
we've talked about it so many times. Like, why can't we just live together and have a beautiful
home? Can you imagine it? Friends should be allowed to also, there should be like a third home where it's like the friend home.
And it's like a really safe relaxing space.
Maybe that eventually could be a podcast studio.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. Manifesting cool. It. So
we never come home again.
Yeah. There's also this moment when Derek is teaching where Leah messes up in the surgery.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't actually know what she does, but she messes up.
She puts a clamp in.
Okay, she does something.
And she's not supposed to.
And brain surgery freaks me out. So anything where someone messes up in brain surgery. And there's that scene later where the patient wakes up and is fine. And Derek has her now watching the patient, like being in charge of that. And she cries to Derek and says that she is relieved. And I did like this moment, though. He says, you cry in stairwells, and tells her to remember that feeling. Don't remember the relief. Remember the scared feeling, because you won't ever do that again. And I feel like this happens a lot, like that kind of a teaching moment.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel bad for Leah, because I feel like she just keeps getting like hit after hit.
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't know.
He says, doctors don't cry in hallways. We have stairwells for that.
Right.
Which I love that line.
Yeah. And then
too. I also like when they're working on Mr. Quaid with the scissors in his head.
Yes.
Yeah. And Stephanie and Joe are like so into it. But then Stephanie says something like, ooh, gross. And Derek looks at her and she's like, sorry. And he goes, don't apologize to me. Apologize to Mr. Quaid. She's like, sorry, Mr. Quaid. And that was like the best. And then also when that patient asked Derek, like, do you have a plan to get these out of me? And he's like, it will be a very careful, very precise yank. We're just gonna yank it out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Joe funny. Just does it. Like, she loves it.
Yeah.
I know, she's like She-Ra. I know.
Yeah. Also, meanwhile, we can just talk about Ben really fast.
He's so tired.
Is it because are they trying to do this because he's older than them?
Because they keep calling him Gramps.
He's just come off a long shift.
Right. And I just didn't know, like, if there was a deeper meaning to this. I just wrote Ben Warren is a tired BB. Like, he misses the whole surgery, sleeping. But then he's, like, well... rest or no, then Bailey at the end shows up and she's like, you're right. I just needed a full night of sleep. I'm feeling great. And
she calls him a Superman. And I was like, he's not a Superman. He slept all night. Like, he lies to Bailey and was like, oh, I got a quick nap in. Like, cause she tells him to go home. And she's like, well, look at you, Superman.
And yes. And he really just slept
all night long.
Also, her voice is like gone in this episode, Bailey. You know, sometimes when you can tell the actress was, or actor was like sick.
Yeah.
And then
that one episode with Meredith.
Yeah. This one, Bailey's voice is really raspy. Okay, so at the end, though, Derek just says that line. He says something has to change because they're juggling too much, but we don't know what.
Yeah.
So we'll figure that out. I think what happens is nothing.
I think
Meredith's career gets put on hold.
Probably.
We have Alex and April and Jackson. Paige, you pick. Which one do you want to talk about next?
Let's talk about Alex.
Okay.
Perfect. Where's my notes?
I don't really have like any.
Oh, I just have that he talks about.
I just have a few, yeah.
Yeah. First of all, Brayden escapes. And that part, it was really like weird. I just feel so bad for that kiddo because when he gets put in that like, that like
gurney bubble
coffin. Yeah. I was like, that is terrifying.
I thought it was more of a gurney coffin, but a bubble coffin. a gurney bubble, not a gurney coffin.
It is both.
It is all. It is D, all of the above.
Yeah, it was very scary.
And everyone's like, ooh, like they're all like holding each other back, watching like, oh my, what is this?
And that mom, I feel sad for her, but she's just,
I also just hate how the parents just keep being like, babe, we're here for you. Yeah. Stop saying that. Yeah. Shut up. It's not helpful. He's like 12.
Yeah. Alex rigs that tablet to the car so he can go talk to people, which is genius. And it costs a lot. And this is where I feel like we get a little insight into Alex's head. Joe comments on it. And he says, money can do a lot of good in the world. And because he used the money by working in the private practice job to buy the tablet to put on here. And so I feel like this money thing is like part of why Alex is driven to do it is to do good. I think that's so true. Like money can do a lot of good.
Yeah.
And he had just seen Jackson hand over his credit card to charge the 25 grand for the plane to get like the sheep. So I was like, oh, like he understand like. The way he looked at Jackson when he did that was like slightly annoyed that he had that high of a credit limit.
Good catch.
And also like, oh, I could do that too.
If I was in private practice.
It would be nice to have money to throw around like that. Yeah.
Can you imagine handing your card over and just be like, I'll figure this out later, but put $25,000 on my card.
Oh my God. Whatever cashier would just laugh at me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, Paige.
Ma'am, this is a prepaid debit card.
Starbucks gift card.
Yeah.
This is no good here. Yeah. Oh boy. I'd feel really cool for like half a second though.
Yeah.
Your Gap credit card.
This is your Costco card, ma'am. And not your credit card, the card to get into Costco.
What's the card that weirdest card, like credit card you guys have ever opened?
Oh, that's a good question.
I had the Victoria's Secret one for a long time because they told those ladies in those black button downs would be like, would you like to get another free pair of underwear?
If you're like, absolutely.
And I was like 16. I was like, yeah, sure. My mom won't know that I signed up for this.
I don't think I have super weird ones. I mean, I had, when my credit was really bad, I had like the really bad card that like pays you, or you have to pay like a monthly fee to have or whatever. I had that, but I don't think I have like any weird ones. I had a Gap card.
I have a Gap card. I have J. Crew.
But the Gap card got closed because I didn't pay for it. And that really put my credit in the trash can for a while. I was young. I was in my early
20s. You were 20s. Like, I would like the 15% discount when I buy this sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bought J. Crew one too when we bought our wedding suit for Jake. Because I was like, oh, I can get an extra whatever off.
Yeah.
And then now I you can't close it because that's worse. So they just sit in my wallet and I don't put anything on them.
You should check them once in a while, though. Make sure people aren't putting anything on them. Because I had like a Gap Visa. So like you need to make sure that like,
oh, yeah,
someone's not just like spending money on it.
Yeah, I'll have to check. I don't know how to check them.
They're probably just have like crazy balances on them. Okay. Any page? Did you have any weird ones?
No.
Wow.
No.
The Victoria's Secret one was black and sparkly.
Well, my debit card is like tie-dye color, which is really
that's
cool.
That's neat. Remember the ones where people would get their own photo on?
Wait, there's this meme where it's like, it's like my dad was like, do you want your photo? Do you want your photo on the card? And his previous card had like the Bank of America card had like his little photo in the corner. Mm-hmm. So he sent that in and they put it on the card.
Oh, no.
So his like face was on the card. It's like one of my favorite memes.
Also, do you guys remember how exciting it was to look at? My mom would get the thing to order checkbooks.
Oh,
and so there would be exciting. All the different designs.
My mom would always get the same ones. And I'd be like, no, get the cool, get the Winnie the Pooh, Mom.
No one even, I don't even have checkbooks. I have the checkbook that I've been using for like 5 years.
So do I. That it's from like literally where I lived when I was 19. Yeah. And I still use that address on there.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Mine has my Wisconsin address. It's yeah. The wrong state.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Anyways. Okay, wow, where were we? So Alex is working night shift at the private practice.
With Dr. Butthole, yeah.
With Dr. Butthole, that's mm-hmm. all we know about that.
Yeah.
Again, I would have watched a spinoff of Alex.
And Dr. Butthole.
And Dr. Butthole.
Well, yeah. I loved the in the morning when Alex was putting on his suit and tie and Joe was like tying his tie and they both just worked an overnight and he falls asleep.
Sitting up.
And she's like talking about the hollow jingles.
Wait,
do you remember
what?
That? She's like, you know when you're so tired that you just have the hollow jingles? And I was like, it spoke to my soul. Because I'm
what does
perpetually
that mean?
Exhausted. Just like when you feel hollow, you're so tired that like you just feel hollow, but you're also like buzzing because you're so tired.
Yeah.
It was perfect. I use that term now in my like real life.
I'm going to start
hollow
using that
jingles.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you get up in the morning and you didn't sleep well and everything's wrong with the day, you have the hollow jingles.
Exactly.
I like that. Ah, bug. Sorry.
I was like, what?
Let's talk about this. Ugh, I hate this storyline. It's just so sad. Okay, so April shows up to work, which this made me laugh, wearing a Speedo one-piece bathing suit, which I feel like I wore those kind. I was a lifeguard. Those just brought that circle in the back. It brought back a lot of memories.
Oh, yeah.
And we learned that Jackson sends out his laundry and doesn't believe that April doesn't.
Doesn't believe that?
Well, he's like, I can't believe that you don't.
Well,
do
even
that.
Joe sends out her laundry.
Yes. I was going to say, she's like, I'm a doctor. I send it out.
Well, I was like, what is this sending out laundry? Who the fuck does this?
People.
I know a lot of people that do that.
Really?
Think of
mostly professional people are people that are super busy.
Yeah, or they like maybe where they live doesn't have
the laundromat.
Some people in condos, so like where my friend lives, they had a laundry service in the condo building. And so you just like, I mean, it was, you like offered to pay it and you'd put the bag like outside or in these lockers or something, and then it would come back clean.
Okay,
well,
I want
to
start
do
doing it.
Service because I lived in an apartment and we had like a laundry room in the basement. And what I did, like a separate load of socks and underwear, and I put them in the dryer. And I went down to get them, and there were only socks left in the dryer. So at that point, I was like,
"Ew,
yeah, no more. I'm gonna like keep it private. Have somebody else, you know. I'm not doing laundry in communal places anymore because that."
Oh, no.
I would also be pissed because, like, I don't have unlimited amounts of underwear. I repeat my favorites.
Yeah, and they're expensive. If they're nice, comfy ones that you love. Yeah, I was.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I'm very disturbed by that. I get that.
Would it be weirder if your socks had been taken?
Weird, but less creepy.
Yeah.
Ugh, yikes. I, for a while, was going to the laundromat, and that was, like, kind of fun for a hot second. Like, you know, sitting and reading your book, and I would always wear a bandana. Like, I would do, like, laundromat, like, look, you know? It's like the only time I ever wore a bandana was when I went to the laundromat.
You also when you move.
That's true, when I move, and sometimes when I clean the house.
Oh my God.
Rarely any other time. But yeah, I would like every time I went to the laundromat, I'd put a bandana on and I'd wear these pants and I'd wear like little house pants.
It felt right.
And then I'd sit there and I was like hoping to meet someone there. There are not cool people at that laundromat, let me tell you. I mean, sometimes there could be.
I wonder if there's Grand Rapids, like,
well, I know, like, my sister used to, actually, now that I think about it, she used to send out for, like, her dress shirts.
Yeah.
Like, people would come.
Pick up and delivery service. I have a washer and dryer, and I wonder how much it is to do this. Wash and fold? Fluff and fold?
Wow.
They're based in Easttown.
I would be really happy for them to do, like, my linen, like, my bed linens. Those are terrible to wash.
And down comforters?
Yeah.
I just washed
mine
today.
Let's start doing this. Oh, look at blankets.
Yeah.
Fulking, how much?
Oh, let's see. How many blankets? So we're going to do three blankets, one comforter.
Sure.
Okay, let's see how much it costs. What's our... $68. Kind of expensive.
That's a lot of money. I would rather just use my washer and dryer.
The comforter for $20, so I'd consider that. Because I have to dry mine like three times.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, wow.
But three blankets for $45? Get out of here. I'll just put them in the washer at the same time.
Okay, so
what are we talking about? Jackson and April.
Yep. And so then, like, also April is eating meatloaf for lunch. She has leftovers. Jackson has a coffee. He has a Slurpee. And Jackson says, which this is rude, that it's depressing to eat out of a food out of a container. That's what April says that Jackson says. And I think that's
rude.
I mean, it is nicer to eat on a plate, but it's not depressing to eat out of a container. It means less dishes.
Yeah.
Send out his dishes?
Probably. Probably throws them away.
They're like fundamentally so different. Like, she's this farm girl who is a penny pincher and a 4-H, and he's like this private school rich kid. You know what I mean? And it's one of the things that I think frustrates me the most about them as a couple is it's like they have hot sex. They have great chemistry, but like deep down, they're so freaking different and they're so scared to talk about it. And then when they do, it just, everything goes wrong, you know?
Well, and page two, they never talked about it before they got married.
Right.
Like,
what
they don't.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
I was like, why would it? I don't know. These people, these people on this show.
They really did they have really hot sex. And
they're like, this means we should be married.
Even them getting together was so problematic for April. You know, like, I do believe that they like, you can love them, but like they fundamentally for marriage and kids, it's not, they have so many differences.
It's like if Christina and Owen would have gotten together, we saw how that played out. It's just like, you're not compatible. Like the things that matter to you at your core aren't compatible with that other person. And it's fine. Have the hot sex. Appreciate and understand, like, it will run its course.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, in April, like, so Jackson and April end up having this patient and she gets bit by a dog and it turns out that she's deaf and the mother is also deaf. And then Jackson shows up to like look at the bite and talks about putting
cochlear implants.
Yeah. And he said, like, she's
so much to say about this.
Yeah. And so it's just like, I'll let you get into it, but pretty much the mom is like, we don't want this and gets pretty upset. And then Jackson and April get into a fight about it. But
I think it's important just how the dad in that parentage, the dad is like, explains it to the wife. Is like, we're not interested. Like he agrees with what the mom, like the mom says, like they are in sync with each other.
Oh, absolutely.
And so versus like Jackson and April talk about it.
Yeah. Like I already told him, we're not interested. Like, it's fine.
Yep.
So go ahead, Paige, take it away.
Well, so I have family members that have profound hearing loss. It runs in my family. And one of my dear nephews got cochlear implants when he was 1 year old. And it was a decision that was really, really difficult for my sister's family to make. Obviously, it's a huge surgery. It's very invasive. It requires a lot of financial support for a lifetime. You know, you don't just pay for it and it's done. Like, it requires upkeep and it requires a commitment, and you're making a decision for a child who is 1 year old and may not agree with that decision as they grow up and get older. And there's a huge, in kind of watching her go through that and trying to support her as best as I could going through that, there is a difference between people who are deaf and the deaf community. And I loved that it was touched on with the family's reaction, the two parents' reactions, just because I think a lot of times as hearing people, we assume that everyone would want to be a hearing person if they had the choice. Mm-hmm. And I loved that at the end of the day, both parents, like you said, were in agreement. They discussed it. They talked about it and they decided what was best for their family. And he was a little freaking pushy about it with them too. Like, he said, "Oh, have you ever considered cochlear implants?" And the dad's like, "Yeah, we've talked about it. We're not interested." And he's like, "But she's the right age and she's healthy and she's this." And it's like, I already said no. You know, yeah. Like, "Oh, well, since you brought that up, I guess we can change our mind." You know, it was a little pushy for me. I was like, "Ooh, you're getting douchey douche there."
That's a little condescending too.
Yeah, that's a really very much.
That's a really good point you brought up, Paige. And I love that you said that we as like hearing people would assume that, why wouldn't you want this? But like, that is a completely unfair assumption to make. It also just shows such a bias and like,
well, even like the mom is like, "You're looking at this as a disability and this is not a disability." And
she's not damaged. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, and like the dad is like, "That's not what he said." You know, was just trying to mediate, but you could tell that they were a unit for sure.
Yeah. I love times when Shonda inserts just little things. This isn't like a big part of the storyline, but I feel like it probably made a lot of families feel seen or people that watch the show. And so I appreciate things like that when this happens in this show. And also,
I appreciate that it was a no, and that's what got the recognition. Like, having recognition, because there was, I think Mark worked with somebody, Mark Sloan had a patient with cochlear implants at one point. And it was like, great, that was their choice or whatever. But I loved in this situation that the right answer for the family was no.
Yeah. Yeah. It was,
you know,
agree. They showed like, they've shown different sides. And I don't know who says that. I think it's April. I have this note right near that part. I think it's when they're talking about the cochlear implants later and like what they would have done. And April says, "Don't dismiss how I feel. My opinion matters." And I think that is really important.
She stuck up for herself finally. Because.
And it's true. Like, you shouldn't ever dismiss how, like, people's opinions do matter, even if they're different.
What becomes really complicated, I think, is, and I feel like this can sometimes happen between men and women in arguments, is Jackson's like, "Why are we arguing about our fictitious child who is deaf? This doesn't make any sense." And April's like, "We're actually not arguing about that. Like, remove deaf with like Christian and Bible study and all, you know, these different words that you don't agree with and you think are stupid. You think my opinions are dumb."
Yeah. She says,
and he says he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's worse is when he says, I love you still. And which, she talks about how she holds her face with everything else. And she says, "You don't accept who I am or what I believe. You tolerate it. You judge it. You judge my faith because you don't have any. Faith is believing in what you can't see. Will you just admit it? You think that what I believe is ridiculous." And then he says, "Your God is like our hypothetical dead child. It's not real."
Deaf.
Hypothetical deaf child. Also, they do have a dead child. Sadly. Yeah. But which is just like, I feel like Jackson... Well, one thing, I think he was speaking honestly, but he was not thinking before he spoke.
Yeah.
Like, it's so...
To be fair, so I say, yikes, Jackson tells April that her God is not real. In my following line, my following note though, I say, but to be kind of fair, she pushed him to that point.
Yeah.
Like, you know those arguments where you're like, just fucking say it. Fucking say it. And you just keep picking and picking. And then they say the thing that, like, you get them so worked up. And then you're like, well, that was very hurtful. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I do think it's both sides here.
But it wasn't a very well done argument. Like, there was not rational.
No. But then I don't think April's response is kind either, because she says she pities him.
Yeah.
Like, that's not fair either to say, because you don't believe in a God and you're an atheist, that I pity you. Like, that you don't have this life worth living and this thing to, like, lean right. into. Both, I think both of them are wrong.
Yeah, they're both really hurtful. Mm-hmm. I just can't believe when he said, I love you still.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was so...
But you're right. I never thought... April's response yeah. is not kind either.
Like, no, it's not.
Yeah. They're just both...
To have your spouse say, well, I pity you.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if your spouse said that to you? I'd be like, fuck you.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, it's an ugly, ugly fight.
Yeah.
And it happened so quickly. Like, they just got married.
Yeah, and then she wants to stay at Cali in Arizona.
Yep, yep.
But is she pregnant now? Is that why she went so hard on it?
Oh. I
think she's pregnant.
I think you're right.
That's why, like, we don't know yet, but it all makes sense, like, next episode. Because I guess it's not a spoiler. I'm always like, I don't want to say too much. But I think when she's with Arizona and Kelly and they're talking about being pregnant and she doesn't want to tell them because she already is, I think. There's something there with that storyline. But I think she's already pregnant. And so it's not a hypothetical child.
Right. I think you're right. And that makes more sense that she would be so adamant.
Be so mean. Yeah. You want to see me go full on bitch?
Oh, yeah. Like, not long after. Yeah, yeah. Not long after their fight, she realizes she's pregnant. Oh. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she knows, but she might.
Maybe she had an intuition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in her body, she knows that she's pregnant.
And it's such a horrible, so sad storyline.
Such a sad pregnant. Oh, gosh. I don't. I'm not looking forward to
discussing
that. I'm glad I didn't
get that episode.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that. Yeah, it's just like, it's a classic example of two people completely missing each other. Like, being in an argument and just both of you missing each other. And mm-hmm. I think there is a way for two people to be together where someone believes, has a deep, deep faith and someone does not.
Mm-hmm.
I think it happens all the time, but they just, neither of them are communicating well. And they're like taking low blows left and right.
Yeah.
That's what I think. That's just my opinion.
No, I think that's great. Do you guys have any other thoughts about the episode or things?
I have like two notes.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm really loving these 80s covers, and that version of Motorin' was so good.
I wasn't paying attention
to
it.
You know, Motorin'.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song, but it was like super slow. It was really cool. I'm going to listen to it sometime. I don't know who it's by. I'm sure we could look it up.
Yeah, we can. There's still Stephanie and Shane are still swapping. Like, Shane is still Stephanie's swap monkey, which goes back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And they end up like ones with Dr. Bailey, and then they want to go back. And I don't know if there's a point to all of that, but they're just going back and forth.
Well, I think the point with that is they end up doing that in front of Bailey and Weber. And Bailey says to Weber, she's like, oh, he's like, what's a swap monkey? And she goes, oh, it's when you take something from somebody that you want. And it was right after they finished the surgery that she took from Meredith. Because you remember, she stole the AIDS kidney transplant from Meredith.
Yeah, when she's like, this surgeon does not know what she's doing. She's unprofessional.
She's very young and inexperienced. Yeah, I know. So I just put Bailey swap monkey's mare and seals the surgery without saying swap monkey. She just like weaseled her way in there.
Also, I feel like it's like when someone takes something you want, she wants the Harper Avery. Like, Bailey does.
Yeah.
Okay. Paige, do you have any final thoughts about the episode before we do notes and trivia?
Just after that surgery, because that's the HIV kidney transplant surgery that she finishes, is what gives her the idea for Brayden.
Yes.
And she, when it, like, what did Weber call it? It was the...
The POW.
The POW, yeah. The POW hits her, and he's, like, watching her, and he's like, She's like, oh, you need to finish this. He's like, what do you need? And she's like, I need to read everything. I need to harvest stem cells. I need to get down to my lab. And then she was like, I need a mocha latte. the POW. So I thought that was super cute to see her. She gets so excited, like with her whole body. It's so freaking cute. She's like shakes when she's excited and happy and driven. And
I love that yet again, like not even maybe purposefully, but Richard helps her figure out what she needs to do to steps forward. If all he's doing is like helping her organize her thoughts and like simplify what she's, you know, she's like, I need to save this boy. And he's like, well, this is how, like, we never thought we would, find these solutions for HIV, but look it, we took it apart and we have this. And like, I just feel like it's a great way of how, I love when she's watching her virus chill. Like, she's like, look. And she's like, I'm watching it chill. So.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, notes and trivia. You want to alternate back and forth?
Sure.
Go ahead.
This episode's title originated from the song I'm Winning, originally sung by Santana. God, John put Santana on the other night. And I was like, what are we doing?
All I know is that one. Yeah. The episode scored.
It's a hot one.
I'm sorry. The episode scored 8.18 million viewers.
The table read for the episode took place on February 12th, 2014.
Filming for this episode was scheduled from February 18th to February 28th, 2014.
In her genome lab, Bailey looks at the genome map of Rory Williams, a patient she treated earlier this season. Oh, interesting.
We learn Leah's 27 years old.
This episode marks Sarah Drew's 100th episode as April Kepner.
At the champagne celebration party, Richard is the only one who's not drinking due to his past alcohol addiction.
The song Fame from the musical and movie Fame is played at the end of this episode. Debbie Allen, who plays Catherine Avery, was in both the original 1980 film and the remake that came out in 2009.
So good. Love her. The episode's title for this next one originated from the song Go It Alone, originally sung by Beck Hansen.
The episode scored 8.45 million viewers.
Jesus, here we go. The table read for this episode took place on February 25th, 2014.
And the filming took place on February 27th to March 12th, 2014.
I almost just...
All right, so Catherine Fox Award, Paige, who do you give it to?
I just always want to give it to Christina.
Well, she should have won it, so it feels right this episode for us to give it to
her. I said Christina Yang should have won that fucking Harper Avery.
She really should have.
So
100%.
So I feel good about that. All right, I'll put you down for that. And then rating the episode... out of 10 scalpels, what do you give it?
I think both of them together, probably an 8.5.
Nice.
We are so on board with you. We gave it an 8, so very close.
Well, yeah, I said the scene with Owen and Mayor waiting for Christina, I gave that a 10 out of 10. Oh, so
I gave it an 11 out of 10.
If I was going to make a compilation YouTube video, that scene would be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, it's our favorite part of the episode. We call it Boards, where you, Paige, get to tell us things you're listening to, watching, reading. What should we all be doing?
Well, do you know who Glennon Doyle is?
Yes.
Love her.
A huge fan, totally obsessed with her. So I bought like probably about 12 copies of Untamed.
Aww.
And gave them to like all of my... friends.
That's really nice. I still haven't read it. I need to read it.
It's so fantastic. It's such an easy read too. I know you're a reader, you know, but it's such an easy read for people that aren't, because they're all just mini essays. It's just like a collection of essays. So you read a couple of pages and you get so much out of it. So I'm obsessed with her. I'm also just picked up the book called Screw Cancer, Becoming Whole by Molly Cawkin. Did you guys ever listen to Dying for Sex, the podcast?
No.
No. Wait, who is this by? I'm sorry.
Molly Cawkin. She actually passed away. She and her friend did a podcast called Dying for Sex. She was battling breast cancer and received like a terminal diagnosis. And so one of the ways that she wanted to process and deal with that is to like free herself up sexually.
That sounds amazing. I need to listen.
But she it's real talk between these two friends about her experiences, things that she was able to open herself up to, knowing that her time was limited. and how that was just super freeing and really cool. So the podcast is like 6 episodes, I think, and they reference this book that Molly was writing during the time. And the book just came out like a couple weeks ago. So wow. I just got my copy of that and is reading it. It's a memoir. And it's
Dying really for Sex. Whoa, what's really interesting, I have that. I'm subscribed to it. I've just never listened to it. Abby just pulled it up. It's a Wondery podcast, which I love Wondery.
Yeah, we need to listen.
Yeah, I'll have to listen to it. I didn't realize that that's what it was about. I think I started it and then I was like, I don't know what's going on. So
okay. Yeah, it's really good. I love True Crime Obsessed. For any like people who love
murder,
true crime documentaries.
Perfect.
They're a comedy podcast about true crime, which sounds counterintuitive and a little insensitive, but they are very respectful, but they have a lot of fun talking about true crime documentaries. They're one of my absolute favorite. Yeah. And then I'm trying to think what else. Really podcasts. We watch a lot of Harry Potter. So if you haven't, and Parks and Rec. And my littlest guy, who just turned 8, he is a huge Josh Gates fan of Expedition Unknown. Do you know that show on the Travel Channel? So he's like a modern day Indiana Jones.
Josh Gates.
Where he goes out. Yeah, Josh Gates. And it was Sebastian is my little guy. It was his 8th birthday last week, and I actually got a cameo for him from Josh Gates.
Oh, the best. Oh, cameo's so the best. Sweet.
Oh my goodness, it was so perfect too. They do such a good job on that. So that's pretty much what we're all about around here.
Perfect.
Well, I love all of those. I will have to, I'm really interested in
that podcast.
And Screw Cancer Becoming Whole.
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting. Paige, this has been really lovely chatting with you.
Yes, thank you for having such great insight and just being such a fun, active co-host. It's been really fun.
Well, thank you.
We are so grateful that you're a patron, and we would love it if you call Time of Death.
Ooh, I can do that. Time of Death, 1946.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.